Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to just start reading beginning in verse 35. It says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." And what do we just read? Your confidence can be affected by things in your heart. So it's of great importance to make sure that your heart is clear, so that you can have confidence towards Him. "For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Now look at next verse in chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things," and I want you to stop there, "of things hoped for." It's the substance of something. And what is of? Of things hoped for, things expected. And I took a moment and looked up the word things. I thought it'd be interesting to look that up. But you could look up the word things, and we can see, I believe it's in 2 Peter. Let me just look here. Second Peter chapter 1, I believe. Right. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "According as his divine power hath given us all things." So faith is the substance of things hoped for, expected. Now, in order to have faith, you need to know what the will of God is for things expected. But this scripture verse here says, "According to his divine power, he hath given us all things that pertain to" what? "Life and godliness." How? Through the word of God. Hallelujah. So when I know his will, I can have faith for that thing. Is that not true? Hallelujah. So it's important to know what his will is. It's important to know what these things are that have been given to us, so that we can have confidence. So that when there's faith, there's no questioning whether it's God's will or not, is it? And something that kept coming up in my heart, and it really started, how many were in service on Wednesday evening? At the Bible study. How many were here? And the presence of God began to move in worship. How many were there? We didn't initiate it. It just kind of bubbled up, didn't it? And it went on for a little bit, didn't it? And it kind of surprised me. I mean, I come expecting, but you know, when the Holy Ghost moves, it'll surprise you. You expect God to move, but you don't know how he's going to move. You come expecting. And so there was a sound that was created back there, wasn't it? A sound of praise and a sound of worship. And as we were praising him, I kept hearing down here the sound, the sound. And I said, and the Holy Ghost kept saying to me, there's a sound to faith. There's a sound to faith. And that sound, when it goes up, it does something. And so, I'd never seen it that way before. Not that I didn't agree, I just did that. When revelation comes, when the Holy Ghost begins to speak to you, you see it. You begin to see the importance of the sound of faith. Let me ask a question. What happened in Joshua? They began to sing and shout when he said on that seventh day, you raise up a shout. There's a sound to faith. And when that sound of faith goes forth, it'll bring walls down. It'll change things. Now, how that sound comes out, it may be in a groan or a moan, but I'll tell you, there's a sound to faith. It's not mousy. There's a voice to faith. It's a voice of victory. And so, and I'm just kind of just sharing from my heart here today, just for a few minutes. But when the Lord began the Spirit of God began to say, there's a sound that comes from the heart. Not from the head. And this is why, when we talk about this morning, when the Spirit of God began to move to say, pour it out, let it go, because the devil wants to clog up your heart. Because from that comes a sound that will break him. What did Pastor Scott Webb say? It was wonderful revelation when he was here. He said he had never seen it. And the Spirit of God said to him, praise is for war and worship is for the presence of God. And so when we praise, it's like a sword. It stills the enemy. And when that sound comes out of our heart in faith, it will change things. It could be a song, but I'll tell you, when the Word of God is put in your heart and revealed by the Spirit of God, it will come out as a sound. A sound of faith, a sound of victory that pleases God. And I'll tell you, it's exciting to me. I don't know about you. Let's turn over just for a moment to 1 John chapter 5. I want to look at this. Talking about the sound of faith. Well, there is a sound to faith. That's why the devil wants to keep you quiet. And when you think about this, how many other ministers have shared this, that we are a spirit being, or some teachers have said we are a speaking spirit. Some have said it that way. Brother Hagin said when he was alive, the Spirit of God revealed to him. He said, did you notice in Mark 11:23 the word believe once and the word say three times? So there's a voice to faith. And there is a sound to faith that when it's energized by the Spirit of God, an unction to speak, let me tell you, nothing, no one, no situation can stop it. We are His body in this earth. And are to speak. And when we do, it'll change the things that He's desiring to change. See. Think about what happened. Just think about this. There are evil forces that are at work in this earth, in the heavenlies, and can influence individuals, can influence groups of people, can influence cities, towns, nations. But when a people comes together with a sound of faith, they can change a block. You can change your home. You can change your city, your county, your state. With the sound of faith. But it takes a people getting together, when I say getting together, being of one speech and of one mind, walking in love and unity towards one another, not bickering, not embracing the world's ways, but embracing His ways, getting full of the Word of God, so that He can use us to do what? Be a mighty voice in this earth. His voice. Hallelujah. Whose voice are you? Whose sound are you making? What sound are you making? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what did I say? 1 John chapter 5. Let me read here starting in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence, back along this word confidence, that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. And when we have that confidence, and when we know the Spirit of God will use us to release words. And I'll say this, you can take the time to look it up. We don't have to do it now. But just run a reference on the word sound in the Bible. It will excite you. Of course, Joshua is one. But there are many others. And that word, even in the New Testament, sometimes is used interchangeably with the word voice. Sometimes the word voice, really, the translators used it, and sometimes it can mean sound. Some of your other translations, instead of using the word voice, will say sound. Let me read one of them for you. You're familiar with these. You can turn to 1 Corinthians 14. But actually, one of them that popped right up in my thinking when I started doing this was 1 Corinthians 13. And many are familiar with this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. So when you don't operate in the love of God, you are as a sounding instrument. So faith has a voice. And faith has a sound. Faith also operates and is motivated by the love of God. We operate from that. So 1 Corinthians 14, and look at verse 10. It says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. And the complete Jewish Bible says there are undoubtedly all kinds of sounds in the world, and none is altogether meaningless. There are a lot of voices and a lot of sounds, and none of them, it says here, are altogether meaningless. The New Revised Standard, there are doubtless many different kinds of sounds in the world, and nothing is without sound. So words spoken create a sound. And that sound has significance in this earth realm. And we want to keep our heart clear, so that this sound that comes out is not releasing or giving power to your enemy. But you want to be able to release a sound that's full of faith, motivated by the love of God, that changes something. Changes your home, changes the atmosphere, changes your city and block and nation. Full of faith, full of power. Hallelujah. Let me go over here just for a moment. There's a couple of other Let's look at Mark. I'll read this. Turn over to Mark 5. Some of these you can just look. There's not going to take the time to do this today, but there's so many references. But one that's familiar to us, we'll go there. Mark chapter 5. And you can look at verse 25. This is a woman with the issue of blood. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. So she heard something. She heard the will of God. She saw demonstrations of him doing something. She heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And you can read down, but what did Jesus say to her? Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So her voice, the sound of faith, made her whole. And so one thing that we need to keep in mind, the Spirit of God kept emphasizing that today, is that, and I want you to turn over here, I guess we can conclude with this here. I'm not going to extend this here, but 1 Corinthians 13. And one of the things that the Spirit of God kept emphasizing and when I was looking at Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And sometimes we can read that so often that we just kind of say it like a parrot. But faith is going to operate from the place of love. Love of God and knowing that he loves me. And when you look at verse 7, it's talking about love. It says, it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And some of the other, I like this J.B. Phillips translation. It says, love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. When you know that God loves me, you'll operate from a place of faith, because you know he's not going to change. If he said, I will, when he was on this earth, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means if he said yes to the man who said, will you make me clean? And he said, yes, I will. Then he'll make you clean.
Yes, sir.
We need to know that he loves us. He cares for us. And we can operate from that place of love. Thinking of this particular scripture as we're... Let's turn over there for a second. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I wrote in my Bible here, you may want to do that everywhere you see the word God, just write love. They are the sons of love. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He loves us. The Spirit Himself, I'll say, beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified with Him. Hallelujah. He's already provided.
Yes.
And from this place of love that has been put in our hearts, we know He loves us. He bears witness with our spirit that we're His children. We know He loves us. From this place, we operate in faith. And as we feed upon the Word of God, and as we allow the Spirit of God to move upon our hearts, we release a sound of faith. Don't you let the devil still your sound. When you get to the place where you can't go any further, you say, "No, sir, I'm going to raise my voice with a sound." Just remember, faith is the substance of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So if you're in faith, you don't have it yet, and it's not seen. If you're in faith, did the Israelites see the walls fall down before they shouted? They had to shout, then the walls came down.
Yes,
if you see it, there's no need for faith. No one can stop you from believing what God has promised you. And that spirit of faith has a sound. And that sound is a sound of victory. Victory in this camp. Don't you let circumstances still your sound. One of the things that was last, during the week, I began to see a little more clearly some things. Others have talked about it, and I began to see it a little more clearly as to why the devil fights so hard to get people discouraged. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So when you lose your hope, faith has nothing to give substance to. So when you just lay down, you just just forget it. No. See, when you look up that word discouraged, interesting. Look it up sometime in the dictionary. Let me see if I have that. I've had that in my notes here. If I can find it, you just give me a second here, I'll find it. But it's someone who just gives up their confidence. It's really what it is. You just lay it down. You give up your confidence. And We're not going to do that. We're going to keep this level of confidence. Here it is here. Discouraged, to deprive of courage or confidence, dishearten. To make less determined or confident. That means somebody who's discouraged is less determined. Isn't that true? You ever been there? You just say, I'm less determined about this. You started out, I'm determined. And then time goes and resistance, and you become less determined. You become discouraged. You let go of your hope. And so those are the things that we need to out, and I'll just say this, that when there's living communion with the Spirit of God, with Jesus, when there's a living communion, it's harder to become discouraged because you know He's for me. You know I'm going to get through this. You know it. But it's got to be a living communion. A daily fellowship with Him. How many, when you're married to someone and there's daily fellowship, you may walk through a tough spot, but I'm going to tell you right now, you don't even have to be with that person, and you know. You say, no, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't say that. They wouldn't act that way. I know them. I know they got me. They got me covered. I'm talking about a husband-wife relationship. How much more than we know our God? We won't let the enemy come in with voices and chitter chatter and talk. You say, no, He already told me I'm going over. He's got this covered. If He's given you instructions, I'll use me as an example. In the early 80s, 81, 82, I was home praying, quiet, on the bed. Matter of fact, I had my hands just like this. I was praying in the Holy Ghost. And it began to stir and stir and stir and stir. And I was young, I didn't know, but it sounded like a voice spoke in my room. But it was really from here. It was the voice of God. Audible. And He shared some things. And 1 year went by. I thought, I'm going to Bible school, for what I heard. I'm going to school. And I tried. That didn't work. And so, let me just tighten the story up here. I came to work here because that was the path. That was the direction. And after 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, He didn't change His mind. He still meant what He said. He said, I'm going to do this. And after 20-some years, I said, maybe He didn't really mean that. Maybe He didn't mean it that way. Maybe He meant it some other way. See, that's foolishness. But He meant exactly, to a T, what He meant. What He said, He's bringing to pass. And all I had to do was just be faithful. Come in, do the things that were needed in the ministry, position myself in a place to be used of God. Not look to be used. Just be helpful. Be faithful. Be where you're supposed to be. Keep your heart right. And God will do all those things. See, so I'm just saying, if the Lord has spoken to you something, You keep that voice of faith, that sound of faith. Stay in agreement with God. Stay in agreement with His Word. Don't lose hope. Don't become discouraged. God is, as Pastor Webb was sharing here recently, he said, we're turning, we're shifting, we're about to the place God is going to move us. Now's not the time to let go. Now's not the time to give up. Now's not the time to be discouraged. When it looks the worst, just laugh. Ha ha. He already spoke. It's done. You know, for years, and I say it that way, when the Lord spoke to me 7 or 8 years ago to start speaking to the mall next door, He said, I want you to speak to the mall and call it in to this ministry. And I thought, my initial reaction was, what for? Why? You know how we do. Seems crazy. But I knew the Spirit of God and I know the voice of God enough that I said, okay, I'll start doing it. And little by little, every day, every day, every day, every day, year went by, another year went by, another year went by, and I just kept saying it. And then one day, the Holy Spirit, because I still was trying to figure all of this out in your mind, and one day, the Spirit of God said to me, I want you to pull out the prophetic word that was given by Dr. Price when he was here on the 10th anniversary of this church in 1990. So some time went by, but I had one of the staff persons. I said, I want you to pull this tape out, and I want you to listen for it. I know he gave a prophecy. I want you to listen to it and pull it off for me. Well, I like to fell off my chair when I heard it. Because he was motoring along in his message, and right in the middle of his message, some of you heard it, I've played it here, he stopped and he said, I know you like it here. This is 1990. We just moved into this building. 5 years in this building. He said, I know you like it here. It's pretty, but you're not going to stay here. He said, you might as well take pictures. He said, because you're not going to stay in this building. The people that I'm sending won't fit in here. And all of a sudden it clicked. I said, my God, God's been prophesying all along. So when he asks you to speak to a property next door, it doesn't make any sense to you. But then he says, listen to this prophecy, listen to this prophecy, listen to this, and it'll all make sense. So now all you have to do is keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the voice and the sound so that God can work with that. Don't get comfortable where you are. And a lot of folks say, I like it here. Well, I do too. But there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people that need to hear about Jesus and the love of Jesus that are going to come from all over the world, and he wants to use each and every single one of us to help in that process. Now's not the time to say, well, you know, I'm too young, I'm too old. If you got breath in your lungs, he will use you if you let him. Amen. Praise God. So let's keep that sound activated. Let's keep it stirred up and energized. Let's keep that sound of voice of faith. Active. Hallelujah. I tell you, I've gotten this week. I'm like, no, you don't. You're not going to have what you say you're going to have. I said, God, you're going to do everything that you said here, and we're going over, and we're going to finish strong. Hallelujah. I'm going to close. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for these thoughts given by the Spirit of God to remind us of what we should do, how we should stand, how we should speak, how we should conduct ourselves, how we should keep our hearts. And Father, we will not faint in the day of adversity. We will stand up and speak loud. Let the Spirit of God speak through us. And Father, we thank you. And Father, if we've gotten faint or we've missed it in any area, we've not walked in faith, then we repent. We fix it. That which is not of faith is sin. So Father, if we've stepped back, if we've gotten quiet in our sound, our voice, we repent. And we say, we'll speak loud. Let the Spirit of God use us. We say, yes, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we desire what you desire. And there are thousands and thousands of people that are hurting, discouraged, broken. When I think about that, there are broken people that need to be loved. Let's not be so selfish that we don't sacrifice our time and our hearts, but see the people that need Jesus. Hallelujah. His return is so close. Some think it's going to take another 100 years. It's not. Pastor Clinton used to say it like this. It was a good example. He said, God's pulling the drawstring on the bag. It could just be quick where the Spirit of God moves in this earth and people are drawn in quickly. But we can't be busy about life and things. You know, there was something I shared. I'm closing. But just turn your Bibles just for a second. I like Hebrews 11. Turn over here for a second. Hebrews chapter 11. This other word blesses me. You can look at this also, the word prepared. But look at Hebrews 11 and look at verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Are we preparing? Are we preparing ourselves? Are we preparing for the souls and people that are coming? Are we preparing for his return? Or is it every day busy, busy? Are we keeping our mind that he's coming soon? Are we preparing? And that's what God is doing. He's preparing us. He's using us to prepare to move. To do what? Be a sanctuary for the people. In verse 16, it says, but in Hebrews 11, but now they desire a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared He did what? He prepared for them a city. We need to be prepared, not be so busy. Prepare ourselves. I'm talking to me. Don't be so busy that you're not preparing your heart, preparing time, setting time aside with Him. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. Thank you for pouring your presence into our heart, pouring your love into our hearts. Father, we say yes to you. Yes to your ways. Yes to your will. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.